Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
John Jackson doesn't even know why I'm laughing, but I'll tell you in a second here. So I was joking around yesterday how, you know, John Jackson didn't join us on Tuesday. He's the Joker from X. He's a retired federal law enforcement officer. He's got over 100,000 followers on X, lives here in Montana, but he's joining us today instead for what we are calling Unwoke Wednesday. But yeah, apparently now they're claiming that running is a white privilege thing. Running is a form of white privilege. And so John was at a track meet yesterday, so he's done celebrating his white privilege. He's now ready to join us for Unwoke Wednesday here. But John, I was laughing because I ran into you at a track meet, and man, the best runners there were Crow Nation runners at a Hardin High School, and you know, the Crow Nation in Bighorn County. And it's like, oh, I thought running is a white privilege thing here. Well, some of the best runners out there apparently didn't get the memo. That's why I was laughing.
Oh, I'll tell you, I know them personally. I know their coach. I know their girls, and I know their boys. I mean, I'll tell you, those folks can run, and they are our toughest competition.
Yep. Yeah, you know, that's the whole deal. It's that embracing that warrior mentality. And, man, it's just absolutely incredible. Elias in Belgrade, though, sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. If running is white privilege, I wish someone had told my pre-Global War on Terror first sergeant or drill sergeant that. Would have been nice to not have to run so much. So I wish I would have known, like, hey, drill sergeant, I can't do that. That's white privilege, and I don't want to be embracing that sort of thing. You know,
it's like we said in the previous hour. I mean, running is absolutely the cheapest sport out there that anyone can do. Go out and get you a one-time pair of running shoes, you know, for $100, and you can run. I mean, that's all you need. Think about every other sport and how much all the other sports cost.
Now, the other thing that they're saying is privilege, male privilege to be precise, is beef and meat and eating more protein. That's the latest target of the left. They're claiming that there's a male lust for protein. There's an American national lust for more protein. Here's what Mary Catherine Hamm had to say about that.
Yeah, let me tell you, if wanting a steak in prominent delts is wrong, I don't want to be right. And it's not gendered, actually. The funny thing to me is how many things the left is just giving over to the right. There was this profile in the New York Times on Hassan Piker, who's a famous streamer on Twitch, who's of the left, and they called him a progressive mind in a MAGA body. And what they meant is that he's fit. He lifts weights. He's good looking. It's like, that's a pretty big cell phone, guys. I don't know if you want to give that one away.
Anyway, she goes on with some other great points here. But, John, I think this is symbolic not only of the radical left, their anti-ranching, their anti-beef, because it's part of their climate alarmist agenda. But the other thing about the left and socialists is they never want to spread the wealth. They want to spread the misery. They want people eating unhealthy food. They don't want you eating beef. They want you to be miserable. That's what they do. They spread the misery.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house. We're taking your phone calls as well. 406-294-0970. Yeah, John, so Mary Catherine Hamm, conservative commentator, she was on the Will Cain show yesterday on Fox, and, you know, she was just pointing out the absurdity of this idea that all these liberal news outlets are saying that, oh, yeah, working out and exercising and eating meat, oh, that's just this conservative right-wing phenomenon. It's like, no, actually, that's the healthy thing to do. And it's not just a man thing. It's not just a men's rights and a male privilege sort of thing here. Even women are increasingly turning towards more of this protein-focused diet. Here's what she had to say.
I would argue the most interesting part of this is that women are shifting their views on protein, and a lot of them, particularly in my age bracket, are abandoning the rice cakes and the crash diets and the cardio of the old days, realizing that maintaining muscle mass and maintaining your bone density relies on protein and lifting. It's not gendered. Right. It's just good for you.
Yeah, and so this leads a lot of people to ask the question, which is, why are they attacking? Why is the left attacking exercise and nutrition and protein? Well, you know, there's the climate alarmist theory on protein. They despise farming and ranching. They don't want people. That's why they fund outfits like the American Prairie Reserve to kick the ranchers off the land. But I also think it's a broader deal with the left. They never want to spread the wealth. They want to spread the misery. John, what's your thoughts?
Absolutely. And like we said on your show before, they are the contras, right? They are like from South America, meaning they are against. That's all that word means in Spanish, is against. Anything we are for that they see us doing or preaching about, they are against. It doesn't matter what it is. They are just contra.
Well, and that ties in with another big news story of the day here when it comes to transgender troops in the military. I remember a while back we had a guest on the show, and somebody raised the question, why is it that it used to be judge a man by the content of his character, not by the color of his skin? But not in today's Democrat Party, not in the left of today. They want you to focus on race. They want you to focus on skin color. They want you to focus on 500 different manufactured forms of gender. It's because they want to transform this country into something else. So they have to break down every institution in the country. But, yeah, big news out of the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday, basically confirming that, yeah, the commander-in-chief can you know, run the military.
Yeah, it turns out, yeah, the commander-in-chief and the secretary of defense can say who can be a soldier, you know, in the military. I know that's shocking. What they said basically is, we're not having this tranny crap in here anymore. They're out. They're gone. But what really got me yesterday, what really pissed me off, is everybody in the media framed this, and you can see that because they're just a bunch of mockingbirds. They all say the same thing. And the headline was, Supreme Court allows Donald Trump to kick the transsexuals out of the military. No. The Supreme Court does not allow anything, okay? All they did was affirm the written law. That's all they did.
Yeah, and, you know, in case in point, I think we had a caller that called in earlier this week who made this point that, look, put aside the mental health issues, put aside the safety and security issues. You know, when you're basically telling young women in the military that they have to allow a man into their showers with them, put all that aside for a moment. Just from a military readiness standpoint, you're taking a soldier out of commission for 1, maybe 2 years of a 4-year enlistment when the first year is typically consumed just with basic training requirements and individual training requirements alone. So what have you basically done with a soldier for a 4-year enlistment? Wasted a bunch of taxpayer dollars chopping off body parts. It's a joke.
The whole thing is ridiculous. And it's also, remember, at its heart, these communist socialist Democrats, what is their ultimate goal? Destruction. Everything they do, every piece of the puzzle is about destroying you, because in the end, they want this whole thing to collapse so they can remake it under European socialism and get rid of this little pesky constitution.
Well, and since we're talking about the military and Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, he came out with a great plan this week where he is going to cut down, trim the fat off of, since we're talking diet and nutrition, he's going to trim the fat off of the Pentagon bureaucracy and basically cut back by 20% the amount of generals and flag officers. I mean, the ratios of generals to enlisted troops these days compared to World War II when we were victorious, it's crazy the difference in those ratios right now. But Pete Hegseth and President Trump are going to cut the fat at the top of the Pentagon. And I think it's going to lead to better policy. It's going to be better for the troops and better for our national security.
In all your years, in the military. I could tell you, in my 30 years in law enforcement, you take every single thing you did and then start talking about the bosses. And in the aggregate, how did your bosses end up? Were they facilitators or blockades? Right? They were, I'm telling you right now, 80% of the time, my bosses were blockades. They got in the way of me doing my job, okay? And that's the same thing in the military. You know it is. The less bosses you can have, the better.
More dog and pony shows, more people briefing the same PowerPoint slides to yet another echelon of the bureaucracy, yet another top dog to put down another big pronouncement telling you what you have to do to take you away from what your mission actually should be. And for that mission. Yeah, we've seen that insane over the past 20 years or so. But I'll share a quick soundbite from Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth that puts these numbers in perspective right after this. And then Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy was on Fox News weighing in on this very topic. I've got a highlight for you next.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. There's an effort in Congress to improve mental health care to pilots and air traffic controllers. Aviators and controllers are often docked for long periods of time if they report mental health struggles, but lawmakers want to change that. The bipartisan plan is from Minnesota Republican Pete Stauber and Illinois Democrat Sean Casten. It would reduce barriers to mental health assistance. Aviation professionals fear putting their careers in jeopardy if they speak up about how they're feeling or need help. Medical professionals say the skies could be safer if aviators and controllers had better access to care. Mental health concerns are now at the forefront of the aviation industry following a spate of high-profile incidents ranging from a crash in Toronto to this winter's disaster when a plane and Army helicopter collided and plunged into the Potomac River. The Department of Transportation declined to comment for this story, but the FAA encourages pilots to seek care. Sponsors of the legislation say psychological well-being could make the already statistically safe industry even safer. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let me just play this Pete Hegseth soundbite. He shared a full video on X earlier this week talking about more reform within the Pentagon, more reform within the Department of Defense. Here we go. I was going to just read from the transcript, but I didn't want to get the numbers wrong. And I want you to hear it for yourself, because this is astounding when you look at the comparison between now and World War II.
When we were fighting across the globe during World War II, we had a force that was 12 million strong. For that 12 million man element, we had 17 four and five star generals. Today, we have 2.1 million service members with 44 four-star and flag officers. So it used to be a ratio of one general to 6,000 troops. Today, it's one general to 1,400.
Wow. I mean, that's just crazy when you put it in perspective compared to our astounding victory in World War II, where we had a much lower ratio of generals slash admirals to soldiers and sailors compared to today. Obviously, something's not working, right?
Well, you know, I don't know if you heard about this, what came out of the 9/11 Commission, and this has been 20 years ago, Aaron. They came in, one of their findings was they saw how many bosses and people were sitting in FBI headquarters in D.C. doing nothing but polishing chairs with their backsides. And they said, no, these people should be out in the field doing their jobs. And guess what happened behind that? Nothing. Not a dang thing. They are still all there. And that's one of the things that Kash Patel said he was going to do, was clean that place out.
Well, that's, in fact, one thing that I need to share a portion of maybe tomorrow on the show. I could do it today. Maybe at the end of the hour today, I can sneak this one in. But I got to catch up with William Perry Pendley. He was acting Bureau of Land Management director under Trump in his first term. He's been a fighter for the Rocky Mountain West going back to the 1980s. He's out of Wyoming. Anyway, great guy, the sagebrush rebel himself, William Perry Pendley. But right now, you know, he's talking about how the United States Department of Agriculture, they're looking to – have you ever seen the Ag Department buildings in Washington, D.C.? It is a massive complex, massive complex. So if you're looking at the Capitol, and you got all the Smithsonian museums right here, the malls right here, if you step to the right, if you go to the south, closer towards the Potomac River, there are these massive buildings right there. A huge chunk of those are all United States Department of Agriculture. So the Trump team is saying, look, we don't need all of these Ag Department employees, Forest Service, et cetera, in Washington, D.C. We need them out west. We need them out where the farmers are. We need them out where the firefighters are out west. So they're working to do just that. And what Perry Penley was talking about was like, hey, look, we did this under the Department of Interior. We started moving these headquarters, BLM, et cetera, back west. And it worked out great. And the people that work for these organizations, if they actually care about the land that they're supposed to be managing and overseeing, they would love nothing more than to get out of the swamp and come back to the Rocky Mountain West. So they need to double down on that, which is what they're planning to do right now.
I tell you what we saw in my job is, anytime you have the entire world centering around D.C., that actually keeps you from doing their job, all right? Because what happens is if I can hear, like say here in Montana, if I want to get a thing done and that can be done, approved by my people here in Montana, I can probably do that in a matter of hours. But if it's some kind of thing where they are making regulations where this has to get kicked all the way to D.C. for approvals and then kicked all the way back to me, just add 2 weeks onto that. Now, do you think I have the time, if I'm going to go out and get a drug trafficker, criminal, murderer, whatever he is, that information I have can sit for 2 weeks? It cannot.
That's right. That's right. Well, and back to the Department of Defense here. So, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth orders sweeping military transformation. This was the topic on Laura Ingraham's program last night. And she was actually interviewing Montana's U.S. Senator and Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. And he was talking about, combat lethality and readiness, how that should be the key focus of our military, and how we've got to reorient our armed forces to do just that. And he started by saying there is no second place in war. And then Laura played a soundbite from this retired two-star general who's pushing back on this, this attempt to downsize the bureaucracy within the Pentagon. And he's saying, well, I just think this is President Trump and SecDef Hegseth flexing their muscle here. But no, this isn't going to do anything. And Sheehy responded with this.
Well, so says a two-star general retired, still collecting a general's pension. Why don't we ask the sergeants and the privates and the captains and the majors, the people who are on the battlefield paying the price for poor decisions back home? And I can promise you, when Afghanistan collapsed and folks like me and many of my friends, including my wife, who served on the ground in Afghanistan, we were pretty damn pissed off about the decisions made at upper echelons that led to a complete and utter disaster in Afghanistan that set off a domino effect around the world. That we're now still seeing in Israel and Ukraine. So the simple fact is accountability starts at the top. There's never going to be performance in our leadership ranks without accountability. And what Secretary Hegseth and the President have directed is our military needs to refocus on battlefield effectiveness. We need to streamline our weapons systems and acquisition processes to focus on lethality, and that starts with the generals.
All right, there you go. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. John, your thoughts on what Senator Sheehy had to say there in response?
Oh, 100% correct. And what bureaucracies do, particularly federal bureaucracies, is the entire focus. Now, this is even with Republicans and conservatives. The entire idea, say, if I'm the head of the DEA out of D.C., what do I want? I want a bigger, more powerful, more well-funded DEA. That's my mission. So how do I do that? I want more money from the Congress. I want more positions. I want more agents. And what comes with that is more bosses and more layers of bureaucracy. I'm always wanting to increase my footprint out there and my power. And also, they want to put all these bosses in places because, see, that also keeps the decision from ever having to get actually made by me somewhere, and I might be held accountable for it. There's so many layers to the reasons that they do this.
Well, to put it, in an easy, simple to understand perspective, everybody's heard the line that there's too many cooks in the kitchen. Yep. Or there's too many chefs in the kitchen, basically. Like, you need one head chef who's running everything. Yeah, you're but But you got a sous chef, you got a pastry chef, you got the line cooks, you know, and some of these fancier restaurants, et cetera. But if you got too many chefs in there and not enough people doing the line cooking and everything else, how are you going to run your kitchen? It's the same concept.
Well, the military is just like law enforcement in that if we are right here getting ready to go out on operation, we, you and I, have sat here and we have analyzed everything, the human, the SIGINT, the intelligence coming in, everything. We have made the decision that we need to do A, B, and C. How can anyone in another place that has not listened to and studied everything you and I have done, how can they be making a decision about what we're getting ready to go do?
Well, and that's the point Perry Penley was making about the BLM and the Bureau of Land Management. You have all these people sitting back in Washington, D.C., and Congressman Zinke has made this point as well. They can't even show you on the map where the Yellowstone River is, but yet they're making decisions about the Yellowstone River.
Exactly.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
All right, back into the phone lines we go, 406-294-0970. Phil in Billings, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Hi, guys. This is Bill.
Bill, all right.
And, anyway, I spent last weekend over in Idaho, and a big old logging pickup, old thing, pulled up in front of me, and it had a bumper sticker on the back I thought you might enjoy. It said, if you don't believe in logging, try wiping your butt with plastic. I laughed about 5 minutes. So you guys have a good day.
What about styrofoam? What about styrofoam? Oh, man, that's pretty funny. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, that reminds me of, what was his face on MSNBC? You know, the guy who gets the buzz up his leg when he heard Obama speak. But yet, he just couldn't understand why Donald Trump was going to put tariffs in place against Canadian lumber. What are we going to do, just make more lumber in America? Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do.
One of the countries that I first got to is South America back in the 90s. Their entire industry of toilet paper in that country was this one brand, and it was purple. This is purple toilet paper. And I'm telling you, Aaron, this stuff, you could take it and sand the paint off of a table with this toilet paper. I mean, it was brutal. You're like, oh, my God. That's when you're thinking, you know, you're like, God bless America. You're like, I need some American toilet paper here, you know.
Oh, man. So, well, you went through the, you know, through the law enforcement version of Ranger School. So you spent some time down in Fort Benning. So I was in basic training in Fort Benning, Georgia. And, you know, the MREs. Get that little pouch of toilet paper thing.
Tiny little thing, yeah.
Anyway, I remember, you know, this drill sergeant, his whole rant was, one square, privates. That's all you need is one square. And we're all looking like, what is this guy talking about? One square, that's all you need. Which was very useful information back in 2020 when people were freaking out because they couldn't find those, Forest Products Association toilet paper on the grocery store shelves.
You know? Probably the greatest jungle fighter that my agency ever produced had the best saying you'll ever hear about training and about operations. And he said,
oh, no, here we go.
He said, toilet paper, you'll only forget it once.
I was going to say, there's probably lots of leaves in the jungle, but you don't know what you might leave the jungle with if you start using some of those leaves.
Don't do it. Take your bandana before you do that.
Yeah.
Do not do it.
Yep. Oh, that reminds me of a great Good Morning Vietnam highlight from Adrian Cronauer about when it's hot out outside. It's nice when you're with your lady, but not when you're in the jungle.
Look here. Yeah. You see that? See my cargo pocket right here? Let me show you. What is in that cargo pocket right there?
Whoa, he's got it. He's got tissue.
Tissue. Yes, indeed.
I was thinking it was tots. Napoleon, give me some of your tots.
Tissue.
Give me some of your, those aren't
never,
tots.
You will only forget pocket. It once.
All right. Hey, if we weren't having enough fun already, let's talk about Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett. Jasmine Crockett, she laid the hot sauce accent on thick for a commencement address. Wait till you hear this.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
The meat of the event, that being the World Angus Forum here in Brisbane, Australia, is officially underway. One of the keynote speakers is Mark McCulley, CEO of the American Angus Association.
The American Angus Association, our breeders, obviously viewed as leaders in the world. And so there's always an interest in what's going on in the States. What are we thinking about in terms of our genetic advancement? And so I'll spend some time talking a little bit about just the growth of the Angus breed, the demand for registered Angus cattle across the United States, talk about the diversity in our breed, the diversity in our market today. We'll also, one of the areas is we'll spend some time talking about the World Angus Evaluation. That was something we rolled out about a year and a half ago through our subsidiary company, Angus Genetics Incorporated, where we do a combined genetic evaluation for the U.S., Canada, and Australia. It's a great way for us to compare animals on a common currency, as we talk about, for EPDs. That's really enabled trade and import and export of genetics that we can compare across some borders. So we'll spend some time talking about where we're at with the World Angus Evaluation. And then John Stick is also going to be talking about certified Angus beef. And I know the certified Angus beef brand is looked at across the globe as a leader in branded beef. And I know there's always interest from breeders and Angus enthusiasts to hear what's going on there.
Over 2,500 people from 26 nations are here for the event. I'm Wayne Nordblund.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
I still think they should have had Jasmine Crockett at the Bernie Sanders AOC rally in Missoula. Yeah, John, you missed it yesterday. In fact, if any of our listeners that are listening today missed the show yesterday, we finally got a phone call from Ken in Great Falls. He came out of hibernation since the November elections. First time he had called in. A lot of our folks were wondering. They were hoping he was okay, that he's doing well. So it was fun to hear from Ken in Great Falls yesterday. But part of how he got out of his post-election funk was by going to the Bernie Sanders AOC rally. John, they should have had Jasmine Crockett at that rally. I mean, she really is the star of the Democrat Party. Now, AOC's getting to be kind of old news, you know, but did you see this story? Okay, you remember first, John, you remember Jasmine Crockett. She's a Democrat Texas congresswoman. She's the one who, when she's on CNN, I talk like this, like, hi, it's so nice to see you here. So lovely to see you.
I'm not going to fall for that banana in my tailpipe. You know, it's Eddie Murphy out of Beverly Hills Cop.
Thank you for that lovely question. You know, she goes from Carlton on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, you know, wearing the cardigan and doing the nerd dance, to now she wants to pretend she was, you know, grew up, born and raised in West Philadelphia, right?
Goes Compton. Compton on you.
She throws on the Hillary Clinton hot sauce comments. Like, this woman grew up with a very privileged life. She comes from a lot of money. She went to a very expensive private school, but she has to look like she's tough. And so she puts on this fake, phony accent. Well, remember when she called Texas Governor Abbott Governor Hot Wheels?
Oh, yeah.
That was hilarious. Well, for those who don't know, he uses a wheelchair. So she's mocking the Texas governor for using a wheelchair. Well, John, breaking news. This comes from the Daily Caller. Democrat Representative Jasmine Crockett is facing backlash after images on social media appeared to show the left-wing firebrand cutting the line in front of passengers in wheelchairs while boarding a flight in Atlanta over the weekend.
You see this pin here? I'll be congresswoman. I'll be from Congress, and y'all be getting up out of my way up here. I am getting on this plane right now. You don't want me to start up in here on you now, do you? Okay, I'm getting on that plane.
Now, that was almost your Adrian Cronauer voice there from Good Morning Vietnam. You know?
This is going to surprise you, Aaron, but I want Jasmine Crockett on every TV show. I want her on every news show. I want her to be the face of the Democratic Party all the way to 2028. More.
Yeah, it's just hilarious. The woman who was mocking a governor for using a wheelchair, calling him Governor Hot Wheels, got busted, cutting in front of people in wheelchairs in line to get on the airplane. It's just hilarious.
Well, see, So many of them believe that this ghetto act not only gives them privilege and a shield, but that it scares off the white folks. You know, that scares off the white folks, right? What you saw where she popped off in this one committee where Marjorie Taylor Greene was at. And see, MTG does not play that business, and MTG is in no way scared of her and popped right back at her. If you remember that, she said, you know, I don't know, Jasmine, maybe your fake eyelashes are getting in the middle of you being able to actually read the text of this bill.
So, all right, so one more quick hit here, and then we'll jump right into the phone lines because we got a caller on the line from Sydney. We got a caller on the line from St. Regis. We got phone lines open for you. Oh, we got a caller on the line from Billings there as well. But Jasmine Crockett, yeah, she's back in the news again because apparently she delivered a commencement address at a college in Jackson, Mississippi. And, John, she basically said that she's going to grab a chair and break it over your head.
Here's what she told college graduates during a commencement speech. A commencement speech. Children's futures, right? This was over the weekend.
There are people that are going to tell you that there is not a table in which there is a seat for you. But I am here to remind you of Montgomery and those folding chairs. Let me tell you that we know how to use a chair, whether we pulling it up or we doing something else with it.
All right, so she's basically threatening violence once again on her political opponents. Into the phone lines we go. We've got, let's see, John in Sydney. John, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Well, my question is, with Biden's cognitive condition, people coming forward saying that he was in that mental state, does this illegitimize his presidential pardons before leaving office?
You would think, right?
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering what everybody's opinion is on that.
Yeah, John, it should. You would think it would. Now, auto pens. A lot of these pardons were done with the auto pen. Now, auto pens are allowed. You know, most presidents have used a version of auto pens. But you would think there's got to be some sort of a paper trail because Biden was off at the beach when some of these pardons were signed with an auto pen. But you don't see any way that this will ever be held accountable and any of those pardons will be reversed.
No, because there's no legal requirement or law saying he can't do that, and I'm sure they would phony up some documents saying that he authorized the use of the auto pen. See, the president's pardon power is absolute, and the power of the president in general is so overwhelming that's why you have to be so incredibly careful about who you vote for and the administration you put in there because their power is so incredible.
All right, let's see. Let's go to Phil in Billings next up on the phone lines. Phil, what's on your mind? Might have lost Phil. I know we had an extended break there. So, all right. Well, Phil, call back in if you want to fill us in on what's on your mind. In the meantime, let's go to Fred in St. Regis. Fred, good to hear from you.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
Kind of interesting we can tie this, my statement, into the previous one about being careful who you vote for. Our senator down here from St. Regis, it's one of the 11 or the 9 or whatever it was that went with the Democrats. It's supposed to be a Republican. So I called the state Republican committee and said, hey, what do you know about that? And it was kind of a mumbly thing. And I said, is there some reason that this fella has been Republican, listed as Republican, and we didn't know about it? And the lady said, well, he was a Democrat and he couldn't get elected, and so he went Republican and was elected, and he was state representative first. And I said, well, you guys didn't have any problem with that whatsoever, and what I got was crickets. My thing is, did my vote count for anything when I voted for that gentleman? That's my statement on this whole thing.
Yeah, it's hard to say that when you see the massive amounts of spending that got across the finish line in the legislature, isn't it? Yeah, especially St. Regis and that whole area, you know, Sanders County, you know, Mineral County, et cetera. I mean, that's some of the most conservative necks of the woods here in Montana. And so, you know, that's the other angle here, too, is like, okay, if you got a lawmaker that comes from a more moderate district or even a Republican who got elected in a Democrat district that maybe goes a little squishy on some of these issues, okay, you might see, you know, why that could occur. But when you have people coming from some of the most conservative districts in the entire state voting with the Democrats on massive spending bills and more, that's the extra slap in the face. Yeah, John, your thoughts.
And because we do these spaces and these podcasts where we have people all over the country listening, you're hearing about this. This is not just Montana. We've got Texas, Georgia, North Carolina, just to name a few of these red states that have the control of their legislatures is through the Republicans, but yet these people are sabotaging us. We are infiltrated with all these rhinos, and they got to go. You'll have people tell you, this person couldn't get a real conservative couldn't get elected in this area. Well, too bad, because it's like the analogy I make to you all the time on your show. If I'm coaching a basketball team and Michael Jordan comes up and slaps me in the face, well, he's not only out of this game, he's off the team. Because, I mean, for everybody, and I don't care if we lose the game and lose the season, because we just cannot have that kind of disrespect on this basketball team.
Well, and I think there's been a couple of different factors here, too. I think, one, you've had, you know, a handful of Republicans undermining their legislative caucus leadership, and that's been taking place in other Republican-dominated legislatures as well. But then on top of that, you've also had some Republicans who have been, you know, standing in the way of the governor's agenda as well, and deliberately trying to undermine the statewide elected top Republican office holder in the state, the governor. And Florida is another example of that. I just shared a post on X earlier this morning where, for some reason, the Republican legislators in Florida said, oh, well, we're just going to criticize and undermine Ron DeSantis, who is one of the most effective governors in the entire country. So
he's the best.
So again, it's like, okay, you got Republicans undermining their caucus, and then you got other Republicans undermining their governor. And so this is why we can't have nice things sometimes.
But you gotta be able to herd those cats and do that, get them all in line, just like the Democrats do. WWDD, what would Democrats do?
Yeah. They'd kill the microphone altogether. No free speech for you. Grandpa Lou next on the phone lines.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you. If you call right now, we should be able to sneak you on before we run out of time here. 406-294-0970. John had to run real fast because he's got to be starting a podcast here in just a few minutes, but he's listening on the app as he takes the elevator downstairs here. Hey, next up on our phone lines, we've got a great Marine Corps veteran who's going to be on the phone lines here in just a second. But that reminds me, I should give Grandpa Lou one of these Power Plus Pain Aid bottles that I've got here in our Montana Talk studios, because he's a Marine Corps veteran, and the founder of this product, the creator of this product, is a Marine Corps veteran in Big Fork, Montana. Yeah, Power Plus Pain Aid. It looks like one of those small energy bottles that you could pick up at a gas station, but instead of having all the chemicals in an energy drink, this gives you energy, and it gives you pain-relieving vitamins all in one tiny little shot here. Power Plus Pain Aid. Look, here's the deal. We work hard. We play hard. What if you can get more gain but with less pain? That was Lee's vision when he created Power Plus Pain Aid. If you go to drinkpowerplus.com right now, you can take 15% off your orders. Use this code at checkout, Flint15, Flint15, Flint15. You get 15% off at drinkpowerplus.com. Grandpa Lou, great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, my friend, and I just want to let everybody know thank you for your service in the military and for Mr. Jackson's service in the federal law enforcement for 30-some years. And I was listening to you guys last Tuesday, and, man, I don't know who's making John Jackson's breakfast in the morning, but they need to cut back on the sugar. Because he was wound up. He was wound
up. That's part of the fun. I told him, you know, when he wasn't here yesterday, I was like, John, man, I had to step up my game. I didn't have you to come in and do the work for me.
I was listening to you on the way to work this morning. I'm going, hey, what's the Joker doing on? I thought today was Wednesday.
It's Unwoke Wednesday.
Check my calendar. And John, if you're listening, it's not nice to trick old people. But I just want to say really quick, too, I loved when President Trump was talking to the Canadian Prime Minister yesterday, live on TV and stuff, and he told the Canadian people, he said, we don't want your steel, we don't want your aluminum, we're making that stuff in America. And I loved the little segment from our great senator and combat veteran, Senator Sheehy, when he was talking about how he was so pissed off the way that the Biden administration left Afghanistan and took. And you know how I feel, Aaron. I was so mad, and every veteran I'd ever served was pissed off and disgraced and just mad beyond belief.
And how many of the Pentagon, how many of the folks at the Pentagon bureaucracy stood up and said anything about it, right? You know, that was the other frustrating thing. It just felt like a betrayal on so many fronts. Well, Grandpa Lou, great to hear from you. Thanks for your service. Yeah, wasn't it funny to see the Canadian Prime Minister? He was talking tough against Trump all throughout the Canadian elections, and there he was yesterday thanking Trump, praising Trump for his transformational leadership and more. It's like, wow, you were talking tough a little while ago, but now you are face-to-face with the man himself, President Trump, on Truth Social. Before that meeting said this, I very much want to work with him, talking about Mark Carney in Canada, but I cannot understand one simple truth. Why is America subsidizing Canada by $200 billion a year, in addition to giving them free military protection and many other things? We don't need their cars. We don't need their energy. We don't need their lumber. We don't need anything they have other than their friendship, which hopefully we will always maintain. But yeah, why are we so dependent on their lumber when we have a timber industry of our own that we need to get back up and running? Okay, Brian and Billings back on the phone lines. Brian, what's on your mind this morning?
Good morning. Before I go on my jail rant, I wanted to opine on that last caller's comment on the bumper sticker. When I was growing up in the 80s in the Bitterroot, there was a bumper sticker rolling around that said, due to the shortage of wood and paper products, you can now wipe your butt with a spotted owl.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and then the whole spotted owl excuse that they used to shut down the timber industry, it was a whole scam. They lied about it. They twisted the so-called science. It had nothing to do with the timber industry or forest health. It was all about the mating decisions of striped owls mating with barred owls. I mean, give me a break. Fake science wins again.
But with these jails, you know, we have a planning issue. You know, we're not planning properly. I was involved in the last addition to the Yellowstone County Jail, and I had to be on site to look at existing piping conditions from the old to the new. And when I walked into what they were building and what they have now, I mean, I couldn't believe how underbuilt it was. It was tiny, you know, and it could have been so much bigger. And the construction costs at that time compared to now were minimal to overbuild that and make, you know, make more space for jails so that we don't have these problems of contracting it out. And just like local elections and things of that nature, we need to be more involved in the projects that, you know, our county and city officials are, you know, trying to get out.
All right. Great final word for this show. Thanks for calling in. Brian, appreciate your phone call.